This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
No, it's not a hostile takeover. I am in for Marcus. He takes a couple of well-deserved days off, but got two of my favorite people here, Kim and Ethan. Always fun working with you guys. I do appreciate it. Always a good time.
We like working with you too, Heidi, and we are matching today. I know people, not everyone watches on the stream, but we are matching.
But if you do.
Yeah.
We're twinning like we're winning today. Yes, we are. It was kind of fun, actually. It's the black stripe thing. We're all about that. Hey, I love this. We were talking earlier about Minnesota, what's going on there. Guess who's on the case now? Christy Noem.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. There you go.
She's going with her high heels and elbows out. And apparently federal agents are carrying out a massive investigation on childcare, another rampant fraud in Minnesota. This is fantastic. Love to see this happen. I mean, they got to just throw every one of those places that was every one of them should be deported. Everybody in there should be deported.
So obviously there's calls for Tim Walz to resign. Do we think he actually will? Let's take bets.
Because you'd have to have a conscience, and he doesn't have a conscience. He's inept and he has no conscience. And he still comes out and says, oh, he's been trying to do this and trying to crack down on that. I mean, it's a joke. Who's believing this story?
I don't see him resigning either. He's already, you know, come to the defense saying, oh, I've been doing a lot to crack down on this. And it's the lawmakers mm-hmm. really that have, you know, tied my hands behind my back and made it to where I can't do more.
Yeah. I love it when the DHS is coming in, though. This is fantastic. This is good stuff. J.D. Vance said on Saturday, this dude's done, the guy you mentioned earlier, Shirley, the YouTuber who had
Nick
gone
Shirley.
To one of those, yeah, he'd gone to the places and realized there was nobody there, these so-called daycare centers. J.D. Vance said, this dude has done far more useful journalism than any of the winners of the 2024 Pulitzer Prizes.
It's true.
Yeah, he's right. He is right. Kash Patel says that he believes that the issues raised are just the tip of a very large iceberg. No question about that. This should not only take Tim Walz down, obviously, but it should take, I mean, all these people, every one of them and their entire family should be tossed out of America. All these people committing fraud. That's not what we do here. I don't care if you, oh, I'm just innocent. I thought I had a job. No, you don't. The daycare center is not open. Bye-bye. See ya. Unbelievable.
It's insane.
And yeah. They said that they've investigated the 10 of these facilities and within the last 6 months, and no evidence of fraud had been found to justify suspending payments to any of the centers. You know, this is a joke.
How can you say you investigated them when there's 22 healthcare businesses under one address? You have daycare centers that have quite literally blacked out their windows. The door is locked. If anyone had gone over there like Nick Shirley did, to investigate, to see if there's fraud or whatever, to determine if they were still deserving of all this money in taxpayer dollars, they would have known it was a total fraud.
I don't know why you're being so negative, Kim, because Governor Walz has, and I quote, his office says he strengthened oversight. He's launched investigations into these specific facilities, one of which was already closed. He's hired an outside firm to audit payments to high-risk programs, shut down the Housing Stabilization Services program entirely, and announced a new statewide program integrity director and supported criminal prosecutions. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure he has.
What a joke. He really, I mean, should be held responsible for this.
Yeah. And apparently Somali Americans make up, here's a shocker, you ready? 85 of the 98 defendants charged so far.
No.
No, stop it. But I'm telling you, they and all of their families should be tossed out of America. It's not what we do here. I don't care how long you've been here. Bye-bye. See you later. It's unbelievable. And if you say anything, you're racist, you're homophobic, or you're transphobic, or what is it? What's the phobic? Oh, Islamophobic. That's right. I got to get my phobic straight. That's the thing. You can't criticize anyone without being called a name. I don't care if you call me a name. It doesn't matter to me. But a lot of people are afraid to speak up because they don't want to be considered racist or something, some kind of bigot.
Right. No, it's very true. I mean, the hypocrisy there. And I was hearing, I think it was in the video, Nick, the YouTuber, was saying how people have this notion of Minnesota nice. You always hear that, right?
Right.
And so people don't want to be the one to stir the pot. They don't want to be the one to out the company that really doesn't have any kids, that claims they're a daycare, but, you know, doesn't have a playground and no one's ever there. So they just keep on going. And that's how some of these things go unchecked. By no means am I blaming the people. I'm blaming government officials that allowed this to happen under their watch. But it is kind of sad that some of these businesses have been doing this for years.
Oh, yeah. What if somebody said something? Who would you tell?
A government official?
That's what I'm saying. The government officials already know this is going on. They don't care.
Well, the Democrats don't care, but the Republicans do. However, the problem is you have a Democratic corrupt governor and other Democrats that are leading the state. They're in charge, right? And so you're going to have a very hard time convincing them.
Right. You think the cops don't know this? You think the various agencies don't know this is going on? They do. Who do you report it to? That's the problem, always.
Well, what sucks is when Nick was trying to go to some of these fraudulent businesses, the cops were called on them because the Somalians were saying, oh, you're harassing me. So the cops show up and you see a clip where he says, look, sir, I'm sorry, this is private property and you have to leave. I mean, obviously it's all on camera, but.
Yeah. It's just terrible because who knows how much money is potentially lost as a result of this. I mean, hopefully this will take Tim Walz down. I mean, it's just stunning to me that, I mean, you saw him in the vice presidential debate. The man just looks like a deer in the headlights. He's got nothing to say. He's like Kamala Harris, only worse. He has nothing. She had nothing to say. And he's got nothing to say less than she does.
He's a knucklehead sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, someone's bringing up on YouTube, the officials got paid off. That's what's next here, is how many officials got paid off to turn the blind eye and let this whole thing go down, to grant the license.
Right.
When there was a concern about, are you actually a legitimate business? They were the first ones to squash it. I bet you that that's coming down the pipeline, that we're going to find that there are some extremely corrupt politicians, maybe Tim Walz, who somehow received a kickback in order to let this all go down.
Well, even if he didn't directly have a kickback, I'm sure he probably did. But even if he didn't, you know where that money's funneled. It's not funneled into the Republican Party.
No, it's supposedly going to Al-Shabaab, the terror group. That's what this money was being used to fund in part.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine this kind of craziness that goes on? And this is what we're doing. We're funding them in our country. This is where we are now. And people aren't paying any attention. I mean, we are being taken over by the day.
I bet that's what feels really good for the Minnesota nice people, to know that they're funding terrorism.
Yeah. Talking to a friend of mine the other day who had spent some time in Ohio. We were having a discussion about Ohio and how Ohio is a, you know, pretty reasonable place if you want to buy fairly cheap property. I mean, it's a pretty state, but there are places where you can buy a lot cheaper properties than, let's say, California, Nevada, some other states like that, right? And one of the people who was talking about it said, yeah, I've been to Ohio and I saw Burkas everywhere. We don't wear burkas in America. That's not what we do.
Did I hear
you start doing that?
Yeah. Did I hear there were fraud concerns in Ohio too? I know Washington State
I've
was one
that.
Of them, but then Ohio is now a state where they're looking at this happening, and I mean, the dominoes are about to fall because everyone who watched that is wanting to go out and check state records in their own state and say, "Oh my gosh, is this happening here?"
Hopefully, they do. I mean, I can't. You know, the problem is the people who've allowed this to go on are always going to fight it every step of the way. And, you know, Trump's only got two more years. How much can you get accomplished? Hopefully a lot in the, you know, time that is allotted. But yeah, these kind of things run deep because, as we talked about, this has been going on for years. This isn't, you know, these weren't thrown up last week. These have been going on for years and years and years and allowed to. And, you know, tons of people, that's the thing, tons of people knew about this in the pipeline. Everybody from the people who license these things, to the people at City Hall, to the people who do permits, tons of people knew this was going on. Wink, wink, nothing really happening there. And nobody said anything. And like I said, who would you tell?
Mm-hmm. Well, who would you tell who would care? Again, it'd be a Republican
that's
lawmaker.
That's what I mean.
But
right.
What are they going to be able to do that will actually get things going?
Exactly. Who would you tell who would actually affect change? And then once you get, you know, called out as a whistleblower, then they make your life miserable and try to run you out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably what happened with Kash Patel, leaving the FBI. I mean, you know, or and that kind of thing. I mean, you just get to the point where you, not Kash Patel. I was thinking of Bongino. Bongino, you know, probably one of the reasons is he realized he couldn't get rid of all the corruption there.
I get. Yeah. I don't know the specific reasoning, but that may have been part of it.
He thought he could, and then it was hurting his family and all these kinds of things. And yet it's very hard when you work in any industry where you think you can really make a difference, and then you find out that you can't, and you walk away just disgusted at times. And you try, you give it all you have, and then you walk away and just, you should never give up. And then there's a new generation of people who behind you who tries to make a difference on it. And, you know, but this, hopefully they'll, you know, weed out all this corruption and get rid of all these people. That's what I'd like to see happening.
Yep.
Makes sense to me. Yep. I'm Heidi Harrison from our cop.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Evan Brown's going to be joining us from Fox News Radio in just a moment. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Trump between Zelensky and Netanyahu. Busy couple of days for Trump. Zelensky, 50-year guarantee. How about that, Kim? I want a 50-year guarantee of anything. How about that?
I'd like any. I mean, the fact that the United States offered 15 years, I thought was interesting. I don't even know that I support that.
No. What does that exactly mean? Just a funnel of constant money into him forever?
I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean that if they're in trouble and Russia starts attacking, that we're supposed to send in American troops? Because
that's
no.
The concern.
Right.
That is the concern. Well, what we need to do is obviously have Europe step up and take care of the situation. I mean, they're the ones who have the most to lose in this situation, and they ought to be stepping up instead of looking to us all the time to cover their butts. And this is what happens. You know, they want to talk about peace and this and that and the other. End of the day, if anything happens, you know, we're stuck. We're on the hook. I don't know why it always happens, but it does. Evan Brown joins us from the Fox News Radio. Hi, Evan. It's Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. How you doing?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
I am doing well. We're just hanging out here, the gang, in this kind of a weird holiday week. It's a half holiday week, right? Like last week was a half holiday week, and we're just trying to get our bearings here.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what's going on at Mar-a-Lago. You got Zelensky there wanting a 50-year guarantee now, apparently. You got Netanyahu there. What's going on?
Well, it's been a big couple of days at Mar-a-Lago for the president. I was there last week while he was making phone calls to all the kiddies on the NORAD Santa line. That was fun. But this is the probably the more difficult part of being president. You have to meet with world leaders, and he's hosted them at his home at Mar-a-Lago before. These were some pretty important meetings. One with President Zelensky of Ukraine, where the question is where does this whole thing stand? And we're probably not much closer to peace between Ukraine and Russia than we were at the beginning of the year. Although President Trump seems to keep an optimistic air about this, that he feels that both President Zelensky and President Putin of Russia are at least wanting to find a way out of this war at this point, where in the past either Putin was not willing or Zelensky was not willing. And I think everyone remembers the meeting with Zelensky earlier in the year that didn't go so well. It was quite contentious. The two of them had words. President Zelensky had words with Vice President Vance, with Secretary of State Marco Rubio looking absolutely fumed. And that didn't go well. And of course, it happened in front of the cameras. That was not the demeanor this time. They certainly were seemed to be in much better spirits and with some more optimism. But of course, that war is not ending anytime soon. I think we're all in a wait and see mode. At some point, someone's going to have to give up here. And I think they're kind of hoping that it might be Russia. Russia eventually will run out of resources to conduct this war. Whether or not that happens anytime soon is, I think that's unknown. I think that some of Russia's suppliers, namely Iran, have been sidelined because of what Israel and the United States did to Iran's weapons capabilities over the summer. And I think that does have a domino effect here.
You know, we've been talking about that this morning. We're speaking with Eben Brown from Fox News Radio. Kim and I have been talking about that this morning. And this whole idea, why isn't Europe stepping up? Where is Europe's role in this whole thing?
That's a great question. Europe has, for many decades now, been overly, I think, reliant on the United States to carry this kind of weight in these conflicts. And so I don't know if Europe is ready to do that. Europe has some defensive capabilities. You remember certainly during President Trump's first term about getting NATO to commit to what they're supposed to commit to with regard to how much they're supposed to be spending in terms of the individual states on their national and collective defense capabilities. He's kind of held their feet to the fire on this. And yes, this is happening on the eastern flank of Europe. I mean, Ukraine is may not be a full-fledged EU member, and it may not be a member of NATO, but it is in Europe. It's not Asia. And, you know, on the other side from Russia, on Ukraine's other side, on their western side, is Poland. Poland has certainly stepped up to this, but in terms of defending its own borders, as you can imagine. But a great question is, where is the UK? Where is France? Where is Germany on this? And that their responses have been perhaps lacking.
So the United States, Trump has more or less offered, what was it, a 15-year security guarantee to Ukraine, though Zelensky wants a lot more. What does that even entail? Could that entail, for example, American troops being sent over if Russia were to continue attacking?
Well, we don't know what exactly that means. I mean, you know, the president has promised not to get entangled into these foreign conflicts that cost Americans their lives and their treasure, where we spend decades somewhere else around the world for something that doesn't actually pan out. I mean, when we pulled out of Afghanistan, it went right back into the Taliban's hands. How much talk about a waste of effort, right? A horrible waste of effort. And so, yes, I mean, if you were to put American troops into Eastern Ukraine, and Russia just waits that 15 years, are we right back to where we were? Certainly no one wants that. So what does a security guarantee mean? Does it mean air power? Does it mean training and rearming the Ukrainian military to be better equipped to defend its eastern frontier? Those discussions have yet to be made public, if they're even happening.
Yeah, and if we give Russia some of the regions that they're fighting about, like Donbass and whatnot, what's to stop them? Hello, Hitler. What's to stop them from demanding more?
That's the counter argument, is that they won't stop because they know they can get get what they want if they hold out long enough. And that's another problem. Now, there's two sides to this equation. One, you want to push back on Russia so they know they can't do this again. But on the same time, there's also a real thing here. You know, you only have the territory you can hold on to. And if Ukraine can't hold on to its own territory, that's a problem for Ukraine. Now, maybe this defensive promise is a way to better equip Ukraine to hold on to the territory it wants to hold on to defend it against its enemy, which is obviously right there on its border. I think a better way would be something that I think President Trump has been trying to somehow engineer, is to get the two economies of Russia and Ukraine interlinked. Because when you are dependent on each other for food and resources and, you know, trade, you're less likely to go to war because you don't want to interrupt that.
That's very good. That makes a huge... Now, you mentioned Russia and the Russian... you mentioned Iran and the support that Iran's giving Russia. What about China? How does China play in this? What kind of support are they giving?
Well, China would love to get involved in anything it can. China means to and I'm serious. China means to displace the United States as the dominant economy, and it's constantly threatening to do that. It's not really there yet. China's economy is actually not very good. It's just very big. So China would love to sell both sides weapons and sell both sides food. That's what China would want to do. But China, if China is the one that brokers peace between Russia and Ukraine, let's just say, then that's a big feather in their cap. And it once again displaces the U.S.'s from prestige. So President Trump, I think, realizes that and wants to broker this deal in a way that would be more sustainable than what China could do. And for a better reason. And that is to actually, engender peace as opposed to keeping a threat alive for another day.
Real quickly, Eben Brown from Fox News Radio. Let's talk about Netanyahu. What's Netanyahu wants to do? What, attack Iran because they're starting to try to gear up again with more weapons? What's the latest on that?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from yesterday and the meeting between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu is that the far right voices that have been saying that Israel is losing favor with President Trump, that Netanyahu personally is losing favor with President Trump, that the U.S. will turn away from this undeserved support of the state of Israel. I think all of that has been dispelled. The two men have never appeared to be closer, and certainly they expressed nearly identical sentiments. You know, the family of the last remaining hostage in Gaza accompanied Netanyahu to Mar-a-Lago, met with President Trump. President Trump has taken these hostages and their families under his wing, under his protection. It's a very personal matter to him. And so he's made it very clear that, yes, he does want to move ahead with this 20-point plan to redevelop Gaza. But that can't happen until Hamas releases this final hostage and disarms. And if Hamas, which promised to disarm, doesn't fulfill that promise, there will be, in his words, hell to pay. And what does that mean? It probably means the United States telling Israel, have at it.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. Eben Brown, Fox News Radio, thanks for joining us. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thank you.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire 2 blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. Welcome to 2A Tuesday. Luis Valdez joins us, Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. How are you, sir? Merry Christmas late, Happy New Year early.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And you guys need to close the freezer. It's getting cold down here. We're socked with our flip-flops. Horrible.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, let's talk a little bit about the DOJ filing a lawsuit against District of Columbia. I like this. They're saying that the city is enforcing an unconstitutional ban on AR-15 rifles and other commonly owned firearms protected under the Second Amendment. That's kind of a big deal. Good for them. That wouldn't have happened under Biden. It's great.
You got that right. And the greatest thing in reading that brief was the fact that they even cited liberal Justice Elena Kagan's statements in Smith & Wesson v. Mexico, where even Kagan says, yes, the AR-15 is an item in common use amongst the American public, which further proves that gun control has no constitutional bounds, no history, no right, no reason, under text history and tradition. The argument has always been, oh, well, ARs are uncommon, they're not legal, that's why we should ban them. And even a liberal justice said, no, they're common. Everyone has them. They're America's most popular rifle.
Well, you hear so many people say, oh, ban the assault weapons. And I'm like, right. Could you define what that is? And if you ask the average person, they would never know how to define that.
Right.
Well, an assault weapon is a made up legal term. It's bupkis, it's bull, it's bovine excrement.
That is true. But, you know, and then I love the argument where they say, you know, you don't hunt deer with an AR-15. What does it have to do with anything? Why is that pertinent?
Last I checked, people actually do hunt deer with an AR-15, and I know because I'm one of them. I specifically built an AR to hunt deer with. And one of the nice things about the AR is that it's more ergonomically friendly. It's lighter in weight. It's easier to carry. And even as a self-defense tool, look, as a cop for 15 years, I can tell you this. Shotgun, cool, awesome, great, love my shotguns. AR is far better, especially for someone like my wife, who's 5'2" and 110 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, that's true. It's the great equalizer, isn't it? Well, the whole idea that you have to hunt with something. No, what if I just want it for fun? What if I just want it to, for self-defense, whatever it might be, whatever weapon it is. I mean, this logic that if you don't hunt with it, it's not okay. It's ridiculous. That's just, I don't know why they even bother with that, because it doesn't matter. I mean, no one cares.
You hit the nail straight on the head. I own firearms because I like to own firearms, just like some people like to own big screen TVs, collect lamps, and drive sports cars. You know what? We have this thing called freedom, where the government shouldn't be able to mandate and tell me what I can and can't own. My family fled that. It's called communism, and it sucks.
Wait, you collect lamps? Let's go back to that. What kind of lamps do you collect?
You know, they're awards.
We're talking Tiffany a lamp. I mean, what kind of lamps do you collect? What?
It was a Christmas story joke thrown in.
Okay, sorry. I guess I missed it. Okay. So what's
the movie? They get a leg lamp.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the leg lamp. Yep.
Hey, my in-laws have that. That classic leg shaped lamp. What was that? The Christmas, not the Christmas story. What am I thinking?
It is Christmas. That's the movie, A Christmas Story. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What's 2026 looking like for gun rights? What are some of the things that we should be concerned about? We've got to be concerned all the time, always, no matter who's in office. But what especially is concerning in 2026?
Well, on the federal level, what's definitely concerning is our one big, beautiful lawsuit in challenging the constitutionality of the National Firearms Act. And we have our allies in Congress led by Congressman Clyde, who has sent another letter to Pam Bondi saying, hey, if you're the most 2-pro-A Second Amendment DOJ ever, why are you defending FDR's legacy of gun control? It's unconstitutional. Stop defending it.
Interesting. Well, there you go. And that's the truth.
I mean, a lot of people are disappointed in Pam Bondi. I feel like when you look at some of the rankings of how people feel like these government officials are doing, she tends to be the lowest there on the list. I mean, what are your thoughts about that, Lewis?
As a Floridian, I can tell you this. Pam Bondi was not a very well-liked and well-respected attorney general in the state of Florida.
Oh, really?
She was one of the people that that helped create the Parkland gun control bill back in 2018. She favored restricting adults under the age of 21 from purchasing firearms. She favors red flag laws. She favors, the violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment to go after our Second Amendment rights. So as a Floridian, I was beating the drums long before she became our federal AG saying, she's a horrible choice. We could go with much better.
You know, what's amazing when you look at the Parkland shooting, for example. I mean, here's a kid who was crazy. He did things like bring dead animals to school, all kinds of things prior to the Parkland shooting Nicholas Cruz were talking about. Now, I mean, gun control, what? The guy was crazy. He shouldn't have been in school. He should, he was mentally ill, obviously, for a very long time. But then they want to take the guns away from the normal people.
Well, the biggest issue is, one, he had over 30 points of contact with law enforcement where the Broward Sheriff's Office refused to arrest him. Part of that was because of Obama's pipeline to prison school program, where he wanted troubled kids swept under the rug. And on top of that, look, in Florida, counties could have 5-day waiting periods. The guy did a background check. He did the waiting period. He was of legal age to purchase a firearm. Guess what? Criminals don't care. Last I checked under Florida law 790.06 subsection 12, schools are gun-free zones. Did he stop at the school boundary and go, oh, darn, it's a school-free zone. I'm not going to go there and commit wanton acts of violence. No, he did it because criminals don't care. Shocking newsflash. Criminals are criminals because they break the law. Murder's been illegal since Hammurabi carved it into a stone tablet. People still commit murder.
Yeah, I remember reading a book about the Parkland shooting from one of the fathers who lost his daughter there. And he said, listen, if I could blame it on guns, I'd be the first person to blame it on guns. But he did all kinds of research on it. Nicholas Cruz, who apparently isn't he the one who threw a baby into the pool when he was a little like a little child, picked up the neighbor's baby and threw it into the pool. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that he did as a very, very young child. He was really clearly disturbed. And yet he looked into all this and he said, it wasn't the guns. This kid should never have been near the school. There were a lot of red flags along the way. And these are the kind of things that, the gun grabbers always want to use to hurt the rest of us.
what it comes down to is this. If someone is truly a danger to society, don't let them loose in society. Simply right. taking firearms away from anyone when they're actually a legitimate threat doesn't resolve anything, because as we've seen in the United States and across the globe, you could use a vehicle to commit mass acts of murder. You could use a kitchen knife to commit mass acts of murder. Yeah. Look, one of the most horrific school massacres in the United States was where a guy literally used a gallon of gasoline and a box of matches and barricaded the school and burned it to the ground. None of that. Gun control wouldn't have stopped any of that. What we need is Americans need to have a solid, hard conversation about proper funding for mental health, removing the stigma of mental health, and making sure that people that actually require mental health get mental health treatment.
Well, and also you think about lack of security at schools, right? You have some other buildings that have far more security than schools, and any sort of a security guard at these schools, I feel like they want to disarm them.
Look, as a former school resource officer, I commend my brothers and sisters that wear the badge and do the job, but let's be honest here. One armed security official on a campus isn't enough. We need to have proper campus carry. We need to let our teachers and staff be armed. Simple as that. Because when I was an SRO, look, the campuses were big. Yeah, I would be there. I would gladly give my life to defend the kids under my care. But it's a fairly big campus. And when seconds count, cops are still minutes away.
That's right.
We need campus carry, no more, no less.
Yeah, it's pretty sad that kids have to even be taught nowadays, students in school, what to do in the event of a shooter. I mean, it's so sad because that didn't happen when I was in school. And nowadays it's happening all the time where kids are literally in fear. And it's not because of the guns. The kids used to bring their shotguns to school in their pickup trucks because they were going to go hunting after school and no one thought a thing of it. And they didn't think about shooting up the school. It's not the guns. It's the mental health system. There are all kinds of other things that are factors in it, but it's not just the guns.
Yeah, it's not a firearm problem. It's a mental health problem. You know, we shuttered and closed our mental health facilities. We let them all loose on the streets. And now people are wondering, oh, gee, I wonder why there's an uptick in crazy people. Well, no kidding. When there's nowhere for them to be housed and treated, what do you think's going to happen?
Right. And there seems to be a disaffected loser syndrome, I call it, because almost all of these people, without exception, suffer from the disaffected loser thinking. You know, they've never been anything in their lives, and now they think they're going to be famous because they shoot up a school. I mean, that used to not be the way we handled problems. And nowadays, for some reason, that's become the issue.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Luis Valdez, thanks for joining us on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Thank you for standing up for our rights.
Always a pleasure. And look, close the freezer door. It's cold down here.
Oh, you'll get over it. It's Florida. It's not too bad down there. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
Kim on a whim.
Well, yesterday, Heidi, I was talking about how some musician who has done a Christmas Eve concert at the Kennedy Center since 2006, so coming up on 20 years, abruptly canceled because he's mad that the name got changed to the Trump and Kennedy Center for Performing Arts. Well, come to find out this morning, the artist who had been set to perform for New Year's Eve, which is tomorrow, has also canceled. There's another concert that was supposed to be scheduled for April. That artist has canceled, and they're citing the same reason. They say that they totally disagree with the name change, and they're so mad about it that they can't possibly perform at the Kennedy Center. And, mm-hmm. you know, the president of the Kennedy Center had some choice words to say for that artist who canceled on Christmas Eve and actually is seeking $1 million. Because look, you have people who bought tickets. I'm sure he had staffers there preparing for that annual concert, and you canceled last minute. And the same goes for this. It's the day before New Year's Eve, and this is when the guy cancels. You should have to pay up for that.
Yeah, you should have to pay up for that or let somebody else step up and take that spot. I mean, you know, those kind of spots are very coveted, so it's pretty risky as far as I'm concerned to say you're not going to show up, because I guarantee you there's somebody out there who plays just as well as you do who could pop in there at the last minute. Just saying, it's risky, very risky.
It's one thing if you're sick or there's some other reason why you can't perform, totally get it. But when your reason is that you just are mad like a little baby that you don't like the name, well, that's a problem. And there might be people who made travel plans to DC just to be able to watch that performance, right? And now they're mad. Right. And do you get a refund if you bought tickets to that? I don't know. I've never even heard of these bands. So Doug Verone and Dancers is one of them, but there's some decades-old performance group that had canceled their two performances that were scheduled for April. But there's, yeah, just this growing list of performers who are refusing to play now that Trump's name has been added to that venue.
Well, you know what? I say staff it with people who are actually conservative or who aren't going to care who it's named after, who are grateful to have a stage. You know how many people out there would love to have that attention, that spotlight on them, that spot, that gig? Tons of them. Step right up, folks.
It's, yeah, I mean, this is what we've been dealing with, is so much just anger from the left, right? Anything Trump does, anything he's affiliated with, they say, I can't even be associated with that. Like, I'm trying to think if there were, let's just say, a conservative artist, okay, and they had changed it to the Biden and Kennedy Center. I'm just trying to think, in that scenario, would you have artists who also were saying, I refuse to perform?
No, I can't think of any conservatives who would say no. They'd be grateful to be there.
You always try to play the flip game, right? You flip the script and you do the test. Maybe some would.
Democrat.
I don't know, but I think people on the left are more likely to do that.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, I understand you can disagree politically, but I mean, this is a stage. This is a great venue. People who are paying for tickets, are they all not paying for tickets now because Trump added his name to it? Not that I've heard of.
I mean, I didn't even love the fact that Trump had his name added to it. They should have just left it as it is. Yeah, I didn't. You know, Trump loves to stir the pot, whatever, but... Yeah. Are you that mad about it? You know, I'm not going to lose sleep over this. I know that Kennedy's family, someone in Kennedy's family was really, really mad about this and has vowed to, you know, make sure that this has changed back to what it was.
Oh, Trump made them mad? They weren't mad at him before, right?
Right, definitely not. They loved Trump before. It wasn't until he added his name to the now Trump Kennedy Center that they really, really lost it.
You know what? I'm telling you, get some other people in there. Just step right up. There are always people looking for that venue. That's what I think will happen at the end of the day. It's just silly to have a fit about something like that, as far as I'm concerned. Plus, you have an audience. You have fans. They're paying to see you. And you're going to be, in my opinion, this is unprofessional.
It says folk singer Christy Lee announced she had a concert that she canceled that was supposed to be scheduled for mid-January. Okay. And
if we have to say who...
I've never heard of her. But here's what she said on social media last week. She goes, when American history starts getting treated like something you can ban, erase, rename, and rebrand for someone else's ego, I can't stand on that stage and sleep right at night.
Everybody went, who said that? I don't even know who this person is.
The production of the Hamilton, you know, that really popular musical, that was apparently canceled. That was supposed to take place at the Kennedy Center earlier in the year, and people were mad about that. So this is, like I said, this is a growing list of these musicians who are just so mad that they have to cancel. And I really hope that the Kennedy Center is able to recoup some of that money.
Yeah, I hope they are. Well, I'm, like I said, try to get some other people in there and or refund the tickets. But I guarantee you, like I said, that venue is very popular, and there are going to be people who are going to be in there and be grateful to be there and not care who the president is. I have a friend who was in a popular band who was just recently did a thing at the White House, not going to mention which one. Some members of the band don't like Trump. Some do. My friend does. You know, you just do it. You go. It's the president of the United States. It's the White House. You go and do it regardless.
Well, and here's the thing. You would have some artists who just aren't outspoken about their beliefs politically, and they would probably be willing to do it, or they're secretly conservative, because it's, you know, basically career suicide in some cases. If you go out and publicly support Donald Trump, you're probably not going to land as many gigs. That's the challenge that some people are running into. In fact, yesterday, Ethan and I were talking about how Rob Schneider, the actor, has said he's been basically crucified for his stance on different political issues and his support for Trump, things like that. And we were debating if it was because he's not a good actor, or, which I don't think he's a terrible actor, or if it's because he's outspoken about his conservative values.
Yeah, I mean, you're entitled to do it, but it's risky if you say something and the audience doesn't agree with you. Maybe actors should just be quiet and just do their thing and not get involved. I mean, because to me, they act like someone cares so much, like they're going to have an effect on the nation by sharing their beliefs. Who cares? You're an actor. You're a singer. Leave that for the politician. I'm not saying you can't have an opinion, But when you get out there and make your stance known, I mean, you risk losing half the audience. Why would you do that? It's just so dumb.
More and more of these Hollywood stars are getting involved in politics. Like, remember George Clooney and how he hosted that huge benefit for Biden and said he was totally fine. And then he goes out and he changes his story not that long after and had concerns about his mental ability, things like that. And I feel like Biden almost kind of blamed Clooney because he changed his views on how he was and how fit he was to serve another term. Well, come to find out that George Clooney and his wife, Amal Clooney, have officially been granted French citizenship and they're going to be moving to France.
Au revoir.
They can go say hi, make a pit stop in, where's Rosie O'Donnell again? Is she in, not Italy.
Ireland?
Yeah, that sounds right. She's in Ireland. They can all hang out. Oh, Ellen DeGeneres. I forgot about all
back.
These stars. Yeah, will they come back? If J.D. Vance is elect. No, Ellen did?
Yeah, she and her wife are coming back to America. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
They got flooded out of their house in the UK for, I guess, months on end and whatnot. And so, yeah, didn't quite like it over there so much.
So is it that they hate conservative so much, or is it just Trump? Like, if J.D. Vance is elected in 2028, will Rosie O'Donnell come back, or is she gone for good?
I didn't even know she was gone. I didn't miss her. So did she leave?
Okay. She's always vocal on social media, putting out some crazy video.
I hope she
complaining about
her
Trump.
Scotland or wherever it is she's living now. No thanks. Sure, it's a beautiful country, but do we even miss these people when they leave? I don't think we do. That's the important thing. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.